having a couple of shiurim in the last few weeks about introductory remarks regarding the laws of Shabbos. As we mentioned, all of the malachos on Shabbos, all of the laws of Shabbos are learned from that which took place in the Mishkan. And anything that they had to do in the Mishkan in order to have a functioning Mishkan are the activities that we are not allowed to do on our observance of Shabbos. And that is where the Gemara learns all of the laws of Shabbos from. So we go to the first of the malachos, and the first of the malachos is Meleches Choresh. One is not allowed to plow. So you'll say this seems to be an irrelevant malacha for most of us because we don't live on farms. We generally do not plow. Most of us don't have landscaping companies, so we're not really doing this. But you'll see as we go through the duration of the shiur, this is something that is extremely relevant and it has very important consequences that all of us need to be aware of. So the first issue we need to think about is, when did they used to plow in the days of the Mishkan? Why was it necessary for them to plow in the days of the Mishkan, in the construction of the Mishkan? And why is it that plowing is something that is forbidden for us? So the Yerushalmi as well as the Bavli discuss this issue and say, well, the plowing that was done in the Mishkan was in order to plant samimanim. They used to have spices that needed to be used as part of the ingredients in the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan, both for the Ketores, for the incense, as well as in order to dye some of the Yerios, some of the curtains. They had to plant various items into the ground, then they had to help develop and nurture them, and then they had to cut them down and do whatever had to be done. So from there we learn that the malacha of plowing is considered to be one which is forbidden on Shabbos because that was done in the Mishkan. Now, the Yerushalmi writes that this category of plowing is not only limited to plowing, going with a big plow, I guess, into the field. That is not all it is limited to. It is expanded to anything that is lahanoyas hakarka, anything that is going to further develop, anything that is going to further benefit, anything that will enhance or improve the land and make it more susceptible to be planted in, that is something that is considered to be a violation, a prohibition of Choresh on Shabbos. And as we'll see, this is something that is very important because there are many things that we do on Shabbos that we might not realize are in fact enhancing the ground, and perhaps we have to be concerned about those. So whenever we have a malacha on Shabbos, and as we said, we have 39 malachas of Shabbos, there is always a minimum requirement that is necessary for the person to violate the malacha. Take for example, on Shabbos one is not allowed to write. That is the malacha of Kosev. You're not allowed to write on Shabbos, but there's a minimum requirement for writing in order for a person to be held responsible. And that is, the Gemara tells us, only if you are Kosev Shtei Osios, only if you write two letters together, then you are in violation of the malacha of Kosev B'Shabbos. You have, in the other direction, the malacha of mochek. You're not allowed to erase something. Now, what does that mean, you're not allowed to erase? The Gemara says the minimum requirement for the erasing to be considered a real malacha on Shabbos is if you erase something which would have enough space to write two letters on it. But otherwise, it's not considered a violation of erasing. We have a malacha of oreg. You're not allowed to weave something on Shabbos. So what does that mean? The Gemara says only if you make something that is rochav shtei etzbos, only if you weave something that is the length or the width of two fingers wide. But otherwise, that's not even considered to be weaving at all. So each of the malachas, we assume, has its own minimum requirement in order for it to be violated. When it comes to the malacha of choresh, when it comes to the malacha of plowing, how exactly do we define what is the minimum amount that a person has to do in order to violate the malacha of choresh? And here we find something very unusual, which is what the Gemara tells us in Maseches Shabbos, Daf Kuf Gimel Lamed Aleph. The Gemara says, and the Rambam quotes it, the halacha that choresh chayev afilu b'kol shehu, a person who does the violation of choresh on Shabbos violates that prohibition even if you do the slightest amount. Even if you poke the smallest hole into the ground, you have already violated the malacha of choresh. Why should that be the case? Why isn't there a minimum requirement for choresh the same way there's a minimum requirement for many malachos on Shabbos? Why should choresh be different? So the answer, Rashi explains, is very simple. Because the malacha of choresh is when you do something that will enhance the ground or make it more usable for planting. Here, how big does a hole in the ground have to be in order to put a seed in? Tiny. Kolshu. All you need is a tiny little hole in the ground in order to put something in, and then it will grow. And therefore, says the Gemara, because the nature of this malacha is such that you can violate it already by putting the tiniest seed into the ground, and that will sprout to become something bigger. Therefore, says the Gemara, we already would violate the malacha even bekolshu. Even if you do something to the ground in the smallest way, that would already be considered a violation of Choresh. So what is included in this expansive list of Choresh? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, if you look at number Aleph, he tells us in his introduction to Simon Shin Lamed Zayin, he says the following. Choresh hu echad mi lamites avos malachos. Choresh is one of the 39 malachos as we know them. V'kivan shekavanas ha-choresh liripuri ara. Because the intent with somebody who is trying to plow is that they will somehow enhance, somehow develop the ground or benefit the ground. Da'az tov lizriya, because once you benefit the ground in some way, then you can use it to be planted on. V'gam kavanaso lahashvos hagumos. Sometimes when planting, you don't want to have a backyard, you don't want to have a field that is on different levels, different layers. It's going to be very difficult to maintain such a backyard. And therefore, one of the fundamentals that has to be done is you first need to level the field. And therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, that would also be included in this category of Choresh. If a person would level the ground, as we'll see later, that is also a prohibition of Choresh on Shabbos. Uliafoso, if you want to perfect or beautify the backyard, that would also be a problem. The same way if we would walk around and take out the weeds, that is something that helps the planting move along and do what's supposed to be done, because now there's room for the plant to grow. That would also be a malacha of Choresh on Shabbos. Kedei shiyeh ha-makom shaveh. That would all be a part of the same malacha. V'chein. And therefore he says, ha-chofer basada. If someone digs a hole in the field, osha asa charitz, or you make some sort of ditch, osha haya sham tel katan v'hashpilo, or you have a small mound of dirt in the middle of your backyard, and you level it, and you make the whole backyard equal on the same plane. Osha haya sham makum namach, or in the opposite direction, if you have a hole, if you have a ditch in the ground, v'hish ve'oso, and you push dirt into that hole, and now you level it in that direction. He says all of that will be chay mishim choresh, because choresh is very expansive. Now there's a question that comes up, which I think is more relevant than in our backyards, because most of us are not doing our landscaping, most of us don't have fields and are not plowing, but many of us do have potted plants in our homes. And the question is, would that also be a violation of choresh if a person plays around with the dirt in the potted plant on Shabbos? What would you say? Yes? Why? So, if the defining characteristic of the malacha of choresh is anything that will enhance the growth process or make the ground more susceptible to be grown from, then we should assume that a potted plant, since it can grow fruits and vegetables or whatever it might be, can grow out of a potted plant, we assume, that should be something that is included as well. But it's not so simple. It's strange that if you look through all the sources, and I didn't look through them myself, the Minchas Chinuch, who we can trust, look through all the sources in Shas and in the Rambam, and he says, I don't find any source that discusses this question. And it should be a very relevant question that is discussed. We have discussions all over Shas and all over Shulchan Aruch about a potted plant with regard to other issues, let's say with regard to Shemitah, and with regard to other things. Let's take, for example, what bracha do you make, the Achronim say, on hydroponics? What bracha do we make on vegetables that grow in hydroponics? Well, you, on the one hand, how can you say Bori Pri Adama? They don't grow from the ground. They're growing off of water. They're growing off of rocks, whatever they're growing from. What?
Sand.
But it's not attached to the ground. It's something that is in its own enclosure. So you can't say Borei Pri HaAdama, but on the other hand, how can you not make a Borei Pri HaAdama on lettuce? What other bracha are you going to make on it? It's the same lettuce, looks the same, tastes the same, smells the same, so how can you make a different bracha? Can you use it for marah on the night of the Seder? Marah that grew in one of these plants. And this was a major question in Gush Katif, because they had many of these places that were not attached to the ground, and that was a major question. Is one able to use such an item for the night of the Seder? Or can you make matzahs from wheat that grow from these hydroponics? Is that really considered hamotzi or is it not? So these are major questions that we have to think about, and they are discussed in the Acharonah, but here the Minchas Chinuch points out there's a gaping hole. For some reason, when it comes to the malacha of Choresh, a plowing on Shabbos, nobody discusses the issue. So let's read together number Beis, where the Minchas Chinuch wonders, Im Choresh be'atzid she'eno nakav, if I have a potted plant in my house, Im chay mishum charisha, let's say I take the soil and I start playing around with it on Shabbos, will that be a prohibition of Choresh on Shabbos or not? Will I be in violation of the malacha of plowing? He writes, Eina mavur b'shasav Rambam. I've looked through all of Shas and I've studied all of the Rambam and I don't find a source that discusses this. The only thing I do find, he writes, is gabe tolesh, when it comes to detaching something. So we know you're not allowed to detach something from the ground. You cannot pick a blade of grass out of the ground. You cannot pick an apple off of a tree. What about picking a flower from a potted plant on Shabbos? What would you say? Yes? No? So here, surprisingly, for some reason, we assume that be'atzit she'eno nakuv pater. The Rambam says if you pick a flower from a plant on Shabbos that is not really connected to the ground, you might not be in violation of the Malacha of Tolesh. And he writes, that is where we find this discussion, but we don't find it anywhere else. Does that mean that this is the same as that? Can we draw a conclusion from that case by Tolesh, by picking the flower out of the potted plant, that so too it wouldn't be a problem if you played around with the soil? He says, Gabi Harisho is Ria Eina Mavur Lahedya. We don't have a clear indication about what our opinion is regarding somebody who plays around with the soil in a potted plant on Shabbos. And that is a good question. The Mishnah Brura has the same discussion, and it comes to the conclusion that one is not allowed to play around with the soil even if it's only in a potted plant. Because, once again, if the defining characteristic of Choresh on Shabbos is doing an activity that will help the ground grow the plant better than it was growing before, or that will make it more readily available to put a seed into that ground that it should be able to grow, then if you play around with the soil in your potted plant, that would be the same prohibition, and therefore the Minchas Chinuch writes, it is obvious in his opinion that one is not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So that's relevant to issue number one to this Malacha of Choresh. Many people might think, well, Choresh, I never go into my backyard and I'm never really doing planting. Well, many of us do have plants in our homes, and that is something that we do need to think about and we do need to be aware of. Welcome from Long Beach. Thank you for joining us. And let's go a little bit further in our discussion about Choresh. The Chai Adam writes that another extension, based on the Talmud Yerushalmi, the Chai Adam writes, another very obvious extension of the Malacha of Choresh would be if a person fertilizes the ground. Now, I am not a farmer, I don't do landscaping, I know nothing about fertilizing, I don't know anything about what is supposed to be done or what is not supposed to be done, what is helpful, what is not. As we said, the Chai Adam writes that another extension to the Malacha of Choresh is not only a person who works on the ground, not only a person who plays around with the soil or who makes a hole in the ground, but also writes the Chai Adam, a person who fertilizes the ground would be in violation of this Malacha of Choresh on Shabbos. Even though I'm not really doing anything, I'm not touching the ground, all I do is I sprinkle some dirt or something outside onto the backyard or some powder, I don't know exactly what's used, writes the Chai Adam, since in some way you are enhancing the ground and making it more available to be planted on, or you are furthering along the process of the planting, we would assume that that is considered a prohibition of Choresh on Shabbos, and therefore one has to be very careful that they do not, let's say on Sukkot, it's something that people are not always aware of. You're not allowed to wash your hands over the grass on Shabbos because that would be a prohibition of Choresh or Zoreya. You're helping the growing process to go to the next step. You're helping the ground become softer and now you can put something into it. We would assume that is a outright violation of the prohibition of Choresh or perhaps Zoreya of planting or of working the ground. That would be something that one has to be very careful about. But another extension of that is, and I feel uncomfortable discussing this in a shul, but it's something that comes up. I know I have three young boys. I don't know if anyone else ever has that. And of course, when you tell them to please go to the bathroom before you leave the house on Shabbos, everybody, of course, listens to you. But somehow, 30 seconds after you leave the house, everybody needs the bathroom. So, I don't know, somehow young ladies know how to be more polite, and they wait till they get to the next destination. But young men are not always so careful. And the question is, what if you have that kind of circumstance? Would that be something that we have to be careful about, that a young child should not relieve themselves outside on the grass on Shabbos? Well, this is discussed in Shulchan Aruch, right? So Shulchan Aruch, well, the bottom line is, when a child does that on the grass, that is not really going to help the process of growth at all. And therefore, he says, that is not a fertilizer and we don't have to worry. However, the Mishnah Berurah comments, you might be right that it might kill the grass and it doesn't help the growth process, but he says it does make the ground softer and more readily available to be planted in. And therefore, writes the Mishnah Berurah in the name of the Teferes Yisrael, one would have to be careful about the fact that the children should try not to do that on Shabbos. I assume adults certainly should not do that. But children also should not be doing that on Shabbos because in some way you might be in violation of the Malacha of Choresh, because you are making the ground softer. The same way washing one's hands over the ground is not permissible, so to this might not be permissible either. I remember when I went to Florida last year, I was a scholar in residence in Boca Raton Synagogue. I was very taken aback. I was surprised because I saw on Shabbos morning they had me give a shiur after the Hashkama Minyan. But they have the Hashkama Minyan, then right after the Minyan they have a Kiddush, and then they wait 15-20 minutes after the Kiddush. They come inside and they have the shiur. So I was very surprised because I was asking around, where is the Kiddush? And they led me outside to the big tables that were set up outside in the grass. Now, you're lucky to be living in Florida where every Shabbos you can have a Kiddush outside. However, the problem is, the Ramah writes, one is really not allowed to have a Kiddush set up outside over the grass because we have to be concerned that water is going to spill on the grass. Now, does that really happen every time a person goes outside? So my father said, many Achronim are bothered by the fact, why did the Ramah say it's a problem? Every time you take a drink outside, you pour it onto the grass? No, we're normally responsible adults. We don't really have to be concerned. And that's why that psak of the Ramah is very questionable, because how can you say one is not allowed to have a Kiddush outside? How often do you take your water and dump it onto the ground when you're in the middle of drinking? Usually on Shabbos, you know to be careful. You know not to do that. So why is the Ramah concerned? And if inadvertently it happens, we learned in the previous weeks that a davar she'einam eschavein, if I wasn't intending at all for that to take place, it shouldn't be an issue at all. What I argued to my father last night when I spoke to him about it was that, yes, it's true, most responsible adults know how to be careful that they don't spill the water onto the grass. However, I was wondering, when you have a whole shul, let's say, I remember in the white shul, we used to have a kiddush outside, but there the kiddush was set up on the pavement. So take that as an example. It's certainly not a problem because nothing can happen. There's no grass there. However, what I did notice was every week you have 300-400 people outside milling around at a kiddush. Someone's always going to bump into somebody else. Someone's drink is always going to spill. And among the 300 people, something is going to always end up on the floor. Am I wrong? Right? I assume it always happens. It's not only in one shul. I assume this is just the nature of people. When we have a lot of people milling around and walking around the same small area, someone's going to bump into somebody else, and that's what's going to happen. So what I asked my father last night was, do you call that a psik resha? As we said in previous weeks, when I do something that has an unintended consequence, water spills on the floor, I didn't want to plant the grass, I didn't want it all to enhance the growth of the plants at all, that was not at all what I had in mind, and therefore we should assume it's a davar she'einam mischaven, I had no intent for that result at all, it shouldn't be a problem. However, we said, if this is something that happens every time, like a person who wears high heels to the point that every time you walk on the grass it's going to make a hole, we said that would be problematic on Shabbos. If it's the type of shoe that will not happen every time, we said that's a davar she'einam eschavein, you didn't have that in mind at all, it shouldn't be a problem. So what I asked my father here is, yes, it's true, we don't assume that every time I pick up a cup of water at a kiddush it's going to spill on the floor. But I do assume that among 300 people who are outside at a kiddush, somebody of that group is going to spill on the floor. And the question is, does that now make it a psik resha? Does that now make it a problem that you're not allowed to have all the people outside because inadvertently somebody from the group is going to spill it on the floor? My father wasn't sure exactly whether that's an argument that's correct or not. I think it's what to think about, what to consider. But you have to think about it certainly in communities where they like to make the kiddush outside on the grass. They do have to think about that issue, whether or not it's something that they're running into a problem with or perhaps not. The Gemara gets into a discussion which seems not to be related at all to our observance of Shabbos, but you'll see in a minute it is extremely relevant. So the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. This is number Gimel on the source sheet. Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes taught us the following halacha. Haisa lo gavshushis vinatala. What if a person has a mound of dirt, and now you remove the mound of dirt? Somehow you take it somewhere else. Bibayis, if you have a mound of dirt in the middle of your house and you remove it, chayev mishum bone, you would be in violation of the malacha of building on Shabbos. Why? Because your house used to be a place where you could not walk in a straight line, and now it's as if you've finished off the building process by removing this mound of dirt. Right? Now your house is more of a finished product. So it's like you've helped to build the house. However, the Gemara says, Basada, what if I have a big mound of dirt outside in the field? Chayav mishum choresh. I am in violation of this malacha of choresh. Why? Why have I violated the malacha of choresh? What is the problem? So the Gemara assumes that since I have now leveled the ground, I have made it more available to be planted in. When you have a ground that has bumps and it has ups and downs, we assume that is something that is not so comfortable to plant in. Now that I've removed the mound of dirt and I've leveled the ground, we assume that would be a problem of choresh. And then the Gemara says in the opposite direction as well. What if I have a furrow or a ditch in the middle of my field, and now I come and I bring dirt and I fill it in, and now the field is leveled? The Gemara says that would also be a prohibition of the malacha of choresh on Shabbos. Now, based on this, the Rishonim have a major discussion that is extremely relevant to all of us. The Rishonim discuss, what about sweeping one's floor on Shabbos? Now, keep in mind, in the times of the Rishonim, they didn't have the floors that we have. They had dirt floors. So the question is, when I take a broom and I sweep the floor, that is ostensibly doing the same thing. I'm also leveling the ground. It might be in a very small way. It's more level than it was before in a very minuscule way, but the ground is more level. And therefore the Rishonim discuss, should this be an extension of the Malacha of Choresh? The same way the Gemara says you're not allowed to remove a pile, a mound of dirt that's in the middle of your field. Or the same way you're not allowed to level a big ditch in the ground, so too you're also not allowed to sweep on Shabbos outside, because that would be a prohibition of Choresh on Shabbos. You're making the ground level, which is going to make it more easy to plant in, and therefore we should assume that would be a problem. Now, how does the Shulchan Aruch bring this halacha to our terms? Meaning, today that we have homes that are not made from dirt, we have homes that are made from marble or from tiles or something of that nature, or cement, would this prohibition apply to that as well? Well, what would you say? Why should it? Why should it apply to that? Correct? What are you doing? You're not leveling anything. Right? That should be the argument that's made. The only time there's a problem to level the ground is when you're making it more available to be planted in. But here, you can't plant on cement anyway. You can't plant on a marble floor, on a cement floor, or on anything of that nature. So why should there be an issue? Let's see the way the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah quote this lahalacha. Says the Shulchan Aruch in number Hey, fifth entry on the source sheet, Asur lechabed habayis, you are not allowed to sweep the floors of your home, Ela im kein hakarka merutzaf, unless you have a floor that is made from tiles. But if you have a floor that is made of dirt, then you would not be allowed to sweep the floor. Now, I assume nobody here sweeps their backyard on Shabbos. This is not something we normally do. So you'll say it's irrelevant to us, because who's ever sweeping outside on the dirt? So the first opinion in Shulchan Aruch again is, one is not allowed to sweep their homes unless they have a floor that is made of marble or of tiles or of cement. Otherwise, they are not allowed to do it. However, he says, Yesh matirim, there are those who say, Afilu enu merutzav. There are those who say, even if I have a dirt floor in my home, that still wouldn't be a problem to sweep it. Why? Because I'm never going to plant here. This is not at all helping me along in the process of planting. So these are the two opinions in Shulchan Aruch. If a person has a home that is made of dirt, a person has a home that is made of tiles, says the Shulchan Aruch, maybe we should allow it even if it's made of dirt. However, right, so leveling per se is not really a problem. Again, if I take cement and I have wet cement before Shabbos and then I go and I level it on Shabbos, obviously that would not be permissible. But here, you're not really doing the act of leveling. I'm not doing an act. I'm not like spreading cement on top. That would be an issue. Here, all I'm doing is I'm making the ground a little bit straighter, which would allow it to now be planted in. So that's where we would say it's an issue. Says the Shulchan Aruch, if I'm inside of my house, even if I have a dirt floor, nobody would ever plant in the house. And therefore he says, maybe we shouldn't be concerned about that at all. We're not safe yet because the Ramah...
What? In a gathering,
so one second. So the Ramah tells us that he differs in the opposite extreme. Again, the Shulchan Aruch quoted two opinions. Let's get it clear. Shulchan Aruch first said, you're not allowed to sweep your home if you have a dirt floor. You're only allowed to sweep it if you have a cement floor or a tile floor. Second opinion in Shulchan Aruch is you're even allowed to sweep it if you have a dirt floor, because you're never going to plant in the house anyway. Writes the Ramah, the opposite extreme. What is the opposite extreme? You're not allowed to sweep your home, not only if your home is made of dirt, but you're not even allowed to sweep it if it is made of tiles or cement either. Why? What should be the problem? What's wrong with leveling a tile floor on Shabbos? What can be the problem?
You can throw water on cement, right?
Oh, we're not up to water yet. Now we're just talking about sweeping. Now, why are we not allowed to sweep the floors on Shabbos, says the Ramah, even if you have a tile floor, what should be the issue? What's wrong with making lines? If you have a cement floor, how are you making lines? No, you don't have any lines that are created. So what's the problem? So writes the Mishneh Berurah, what's the problem here? The Mishneh Berurah says the problem here, if you're going to sweep your floor, which is made of tiles, just hold on a minute. If you sweep your floor, which is made of tiles, I just want to develop this idea so we can fully appreciate why it's mutter. So the Mishnah Berurah explains, why does the Ramah say that you're not even allowed to sweep a floor which is made of tiles? Because the Ramah says we're concerned of the following. Half of the homes in Krakow were made of dirt floors, and half of the homes in Krakow were made of cement floors. And therefore, he says, not everybody had the floors that we have, so you have to be concerned that if you're going to teach people they're allowed to sweep the floors in these homes, they're going to end up sweeping the floor in those homes where it's not permissible. And therefore, the Ramah says, Gazrinan Merutzav, Atu She'ena Merutzav. We have to say, no one is ever allowed to sweep the floors regardless of the home that you have, because we're concerned that maybe you're going to come to do it in the wrong home. You're going to come to do it in the home that has the dirt floor. Now, right to the Mishnah Berurah. Today, where we've never been to a home that has a dirt floor, today, where all of our homes are made of cement or tiles or marble, says the Mishnah Berurah, this whole concern of the Ramah would not be applicable at all. And this is why we all have the right to sweep our homes on Shabbos, because he says this is something that is certainly very necessary. We always have dirt on the floor. After you have a meal, people are always going to make crumbs on the floor, whatever it is. And therefore, writes the Mishnah Berurah, we really don't have to go to the extreme that the Ramah said, because it's something that is so unlikely. Who will ever make the mistake today? We don't, number one, nobody ever sweeps outside in the backyard, so that's certainly not a concern. Number two, he says, nobody has homes that are made of dirt floors, and therefore there's no reason to transfer this consideration of sweeping the dirt floor to our homes that we have today. Writes the Mishnah Berurah, he just did away. It's amazing. The Mishnah Berurah just got rid of a whole halacha in the Ramah, and he says it's not applicable to us today at all. However, the Mishnah Berurah writes, what if you have a home which has a lot of dirt in between the tiles? Then he says you have to be concerned. But we don't have that either. When we put down tiles on the floor, we don't have dirt in between the tiles. We have cement in between the tiles, and they put it down very carefully. So the whole concern doesn't really raise any issues today. And therefore, writes the Mishnah Berurah, everybody has the right to be comfortable and sweep the floors as much as you need on Shabbos, because as we know, it is a necessary thing to do on Shabbos. We always have crumbs on the floor after we eat. And therefore, he says it is something that absolutely should be done on Shabbos. Yes, you had a question? So the Gemara says that the only time you have an issue of bona in the house is when you have something that is so noticeable. Let's say you have a big mound of dirt in the house, or you have a big ditch in the middle of the house, then it's a malach of bona. But here, it's not really what we're talking about. We're talking about where you have little crumbs around the house, and now you're going to sweep them up. So somebody mentioned, what about the fact that now you're making a pile out of it, and we have a malach on Shabbos of ma'amer, you're not allowed to gather something together. So that malach really is referring to, let's say I have a bunch of apples all over the field. So if I gather them all together, that is called ma'amer, because I want to gather them in order to use them. I want to gather them to give to my animal or to serve on the table, something of that nature. But here, where I'm just collecting it in order to throw it in the garbage, that's not considered a malacha of ma'amer at all. Yes?
So but if you're eating on your patio, which is not dirt, but patio, stone or whatever, on Shabbos, and now the meal is finished, can you sweep up the crumbs off the patio?
So there's more room to be concerned. Over there, some Achronim say, if you're eating on the patio and you're very close to the grass, you're very close to the dirt, and there might be a concern that as you're sweeping, maybe you're going to sweep over there, right? Sometimes you sweep the edges, you do end up sweeping the dirt. So there, the Achronim say, you might have to be more concerned, because there, you're very close to the problem. There, you might come to sweep something that you're not allowed to sweep. So there, maybe there's more of a consideration to say that a person should be careful not to do so. Again, you have to really know what the circumstance is. You have to know what the layout is to know whether or not it's an issue. But certainly inside of the homes, we generally assume, like the Mishnah Berurah says, that this concern of the Ramah really does not apply at all. Yeah?
What about when you're sweeping leaves, like clearing the way so you can walk by a walkway?
Sweeping leaves, that's a very good question. Sweeping leaves from a sidewalk, you mean?
Even like on the pathway in front of your house.
And it's dirt or it's cement? So again, if it's cement and there's no way that you would ever sweep, again, once you're sweeping leaves, I would say maybe there's a concern because you might come to sweep the leaves that are on the dirt also. That's very easy to make that mistake.
Is the leaves the issue, or is it?
No, I think once you start sweeping, you're going to end up sweeping the dust and then make it more leveled. That is a good question. Air of Chatzerot. Why?
Because it's not within the house. It's on the adjacent property.
So how do you carry anything outside on Shabbos? We have an Erev in this community. So if you trust the Erev in the community, then you can do things outside also. If you don't trust the Erev in the community, you certainly can't do anything. Yeah, this wouldn't be related to that. Yeah.
Regarding the patio, like, you know,
Yeah. Right, so that's why the patio is a much bigger question than inside of the house. That's why I'm not so comfortable with saying what? Right. It's a good question. I think there is more room to be concerned there. Now again, the Acharonim say if it's very, very necessary and it's something you made a huge mess and you know how to be careful, so then the Acharonim say maybe there's more room to be makel because after all, you're not really doing anything to the ground. But one has to be a little bit more concerned in that case than they would be inside of the house. As we said, inside of the house there would not be a problem at all. Now we're going to get to mopping inside of the house and see why maybe this rule would be a little bit different. Yeah. That's what they're all discussing. Yeah, that's what everyone's discussing. I think by a patio, there's more room to be concerned because you are very close to the ground, and sometimes, very often, when you are sweeping, you'll come to sweep the ground as well, maybe inadvertently.
I don't mean to sweep the ground, just sweep onto the ground.
I understand. I understand, but I think there's more room to be concerned by a patio than there is inside of the house. And that's this heter of the Mishnah Berurah would apply inside of our homes. Because he says today, we don't have any homes that are made from dirt floors. But outside, I think there is a consideration that needs to be thought about. What if we move on the discussion now to mopping on Shabbos? So we spoke about sweeping on Shabbos. What about mopping on Shabbos? So you'll say, how can you ever mop on Shabbos? We have a malacha of schita. You're not allowed to squeeze. Well, the answer is if you live in Israel and you have the spongia, between me and you, I never feel that the floors get clean in Israel. They just pour water on the floor and they just shove it out. I don't know how it works exactly. But over there, whatever the sponge is made from, it's rubber at the edge, so that is not considered schita at all. It's non-absorbent material. So is one allowed to pour water on their kitchen floor on Shabbos and then sponge it out? Would that be any problem or not? So I would say, how can you possibly have an issue with that? What's wrong with doing that? So let's see the following. The Gemara says in Maseches Psachim, Dav Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us a very interesting story about Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach was brought every year. Which day of the month? Which day of the year? Erev Pesach, right? You have to bring it before Pesach. So you have millions of Jews. Imagine the scene. Millions of Jews coming from all over the world, only to Yerushalayim. And, by the way, Yerushalayim that you were able to eat the Karban Pesach in was not Yerushalayim of today. It was the old city of Yerushalayim. That's what it's going to be like in the times of the Beis HaMikdash as well. Tiny little area, millions of Jews, and you're also not allowed to eat it on a second floor or on an elevated platform. You have to eat it on the ground floor. So imagine that. You have millions of Jews who have to eat Karban Pesach within a limited amount of time. You have to finish before Chatzos. And everybody has to eat it on the ground floor. The Gemara gives the description that everybody used to take shifts. They would eat it on the ground floor, then they would throw up that family and tell them, you got to go up to the roof and finish up the Seder upstairs. You can't hog the table here. Everybody needs room to eat the Karban Pesach. It's an amazing scene, the way the Gemara describes what happened by Karban Pesach. The Gemara says that Halela Paka Igra, the people downstairs who were eating the Karban Pesach on the second shift, felt like the roofs were caving in because everyone was singing Halel on the roofs and singing and dancing while they were trying to just eat a few bites of Karban Pesach. So it was an amazing scene. What made it even more complicated was when you had Erev Pesach that falls out on Shabbos. Now, as we know, it's very stressful whenever it's Erev Pesach. Certainly when you compound that with the fact that today is Shabbos, it's not easy at all. Imagine if you have to bring all of your children to Yerushalayim with your Karban Pesach, and it's Erev Shabbos, and then you got to bunk out there for Shabbos, and now you got to run to the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos to figure out how you're going to bring your Karban. It's a big pandemonium that used to go on there. So the Gemara says, although it was a lot happening there, Kimaseu b'chol kach maseu b'Shabbos. The same way that they used to shech the Karban Pesach if Erev Pesach fell out on a Tuesday or Wednesday, that is the same thing that they did on an Erev Pesach that falls out on Shabbos as well. There was no difference in the procedure that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. However, the Gemara does say, this is a number above, Ela sha'kohanim madichim es ha'azara shalo beretzon chachamim. The Kohanim used to, madichim means mop. They used to mop the Beis HaMikdash. They used to pour water all over the floor on Shabbos, and the chachamim were not happy about it. What's wrong? Do you think the floor of the Beis HaMikdash was a dirt floor? No. The floor of the Beis HaMikdash was marble. It was tiles. It was beautiful. So what was the problem? Why were the rabbis not happy that on Shabbos the Kohanim were pouring water all over the floor to get the blood off the floor, all the mess that they made from all the Karban Pesach? Why were they upset about that? What's the problem? Seemingly, it would be an indication from this Gemara that mopping the floors on Shabbos even when you have tiles, would be an issue. Then we have another Gemara in Maseches Shabbos, Daf Mem, where the Gemara says about Rav Meir. Rav Meir once went to use the local bathroom on Shabbos or something, and his Talmud sees him going in, and he sees that the floors are all dirty. And he says, how can my Rebbe go to such a place which is not clean? And he quickly comes with a mop and everything, and he starts mopping the floor. And the Rebbe says to him, you're not allowed to mop the floor on Shabbos. Now, that was a place that had a marble floor as well, had a tiles. They didn't want people to have wet feet that were going to get all dirty from the dirt floor of the bathhouse or whatever it may have been. So the question was, why was he objecting to his student mopping the floor on Shabbos? After all, he's mopping a floor which is made from tiles. Why is there an issue? So Tosus asked this question. Why should there be a problem? And Tosus says, well, we have to be concerned, like we said before, Gazrinan Merutzav Atu She'ena Merutzav. If you're going to have somebody who's going to come along and pour water all over the floor, and the floor is a dirt floor, that would certainly be a violation of the Malacha of Choresh. That's like plowing. Why? Because you are further enhancing the ground and making it more available to be planted in. Now, if I'm going to make a mistake and pour on the ground, that would be in violation of the Malach of Choresh. And therefore we say you're not even allowed to do it on the tile floor because maybe you're going to make a mistake on the ground floor, on the dirt floor. That is what he writes, and that is the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins as well. Shulchan Aruch says that I put it on here. Yes, number ches. Ein sachin es akarka. One is not allowed to pour water onto the ground. Velo madichem oso, you're not allowed to mop it or sponge it. Afilu haya merutzav, writes the Shulchan Aruch, even if the ground was made from tiles. Why is that? Because we have a concern that maybe someone's going to make a mistake and pour the water onto the ground. Now here, the Mishnah Berurah does not say that we have a right to say that today all of our homes are made from tiles and therefore it shouldn't be a problem. Here the Mishnah Berurah says, we would assume that the problem exists even though all of our homes are only made from tiles. Because we still have to be concerned, right? So Mishnah Berurah, but what do you mean? I just said by sweeping we don't have to worry about it today. So why are we worrying about it by mopping? Is everyone with me?
Yeah.
So why are we worrying about it by mopping if by sweeping we're not worried about it? Right? So Mishnah Berurah, well, sweeping everybody needs to do on Shabbos. If we don't allow people to sweep on Shabbos, the house is going to be a mess. However, he says, not every house needs to be mopped on Shabbos. That's very unusual that you have such a big mess that you absolutely need to mop on Shabbos. Therefore, he says, we're going to keep the original gzeira intact. We're going to keep the original consideration intact. And we're going to say, even if it's inside of a home, we don't allow a person to mop their home on Shabbos. However, writes Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, if you have an orange juice spill in the middle of the floor on Shabbos, or you have something where your floor is all sticky and it gets all dirty, or you have gravy all over the floor, then in that case, he writes, I would be comfortable telling the person, absolutely, you should mop the floor on Shabbos, provided that you do it in the right way and you don't violate the laws of Shechita. You do whatever has to be done. However, in that case, writes Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, there would be no concern at all. Because the whole reason the Mishnah Berurah writes over here, we have to be concerned even in a tiled house, is only because he says, not everybody needs to mop on Shabbos. Everybody needs to sweep, and therefore we're going to be makel by the sweeping nowadays, but we won't be makel by the mopping. However, if you have a scenario where your kitchen floor is so dirty, is so sticky, where everybody who has such a circumstance would mop, then certainly, writes the Mishnah Berurah, we have every right to be makel. The Ramah adds on another kula, and that is, even though it's true that today we don't mop our floors on Shabbos unless you have a major mess, but some people are major mifunakim, I don't know how you say it in English. What? Some people are very particular and they like to have everything spotless. So even though the Ramah says we're careful today not to mop our floors, however he says if you have a non-Jew in the house, you certainly are allowed to ask the non-Jew to do it for you. Why is that? Why don't we say that the same way I'm not allowed to turn on the lights, so too a non-Jew is not allowed to turn on the lights? The same way I'm not allowed to cook on Shabbos, a non-Jew is not allowed to cook for me on Shabbos? So why would we allow something like this? Asked the Ramah. Why would we allow something like this? So the Ramah explains as follows. Because all I'm asking the non-Jew to do is mop the floor. I'm not asking them to do any malacha. Now it might just so happen that something, an unintended consequence will result because of what he's doing, but that's not what I asked him to do. So for example, I asked the non-Jew to open my refrigerator door, and I know that the light in the refrigerator is on. Is that a problem on Shabbos? Well, I'm not allowed to open it. Why? Because I know that every time I open that door, I'm going to cause a malacha to happen. I can't open the door. But Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, I would be allowed to ask the non-Jew to open it for me. Why? Because it's not like I ask the non-Jew, please go turn on the light. All I ask the non-Jew to do is to open up the door. Happens to be, a light goes on. It's not at all what we had in mind. Happens to be, that's what takes place. But that's not the malacha that I ask the non-Jew to do. And therefore, writes the Rama, we have every right to be makel. When you have a circumstance like that, where the overall activity that I'm asking the non-Jew to perform is something that is permissible. I'm asking them to open up a refrigerator. I'm asking them to mop the floor. There's nothing wrong with that. Even though we know that an unintended consequence will result because of what the non-Jew is doing, we don't have to be concerned about that. Similarly, I ask the non-Jew to clean my dishes on Shabbos. So I know that the non-Jew is going to turn on the hot water, but I didn't ask them to do that. The non-Jew on their own had a choice either to turn on the hot water or the cold water. Just so happens to be they turned on the hot water because any normal person who wants to wash dishes knows you turn on the hot water. But that wouldn't be a problem because what I asked them to do is not, please turn on the hot water. If I want hot water for my coffee and I ask the non-Jew, please turn on the hot water for me, that's a malacha. That's something I'm not allowed to do. But if I just ask the non-Jew, please wash the dishes, however they figure out how to do that is their prerogative, is their problem. And therefore, there would be no problem at all to ask the non-Jew either to open up the refrigerator door, to mop my floors on Shabbos, even though I myself am not allowed to do it, or to, like we said, to have the non-Jew turn on the hot water when they're washing the dishes by themselves. Now, we'll talk in greater detail a different time about how we deal with a non-Jew in the house. There are many things we need to be aware of, and there are many people who violate a lot of Hilchos Shabbos, every Shabbos with the non-Jew in the house, but we cannot cover that in one shiur. We'll cover that another week. Let's take two questions. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the again, it's a chiddush that Rav Moshe Feinstein discusses, but he says we can extrapolate from this Rama 10 steps further, like you're saying. Even though it's certain that that's going to happen every time they open the refrigerator door, he says there would be no problem at all. That's what Rav Moshe says. Rav Shlomo Zalman might disagree a little, but we generally accept Rav Moshe's opinion that that would be permissible. You cannot ask them to turn the light off. That would be. If he does it on his own, that's up to them. But, you know, you're not really supposed to ask a non-Jew to do that for you. Question in the back, yeah? About what?
Can you ask a non-Jew to make a cup of coffee?
Can I ask a non-Jew to make me a cup of coffee? No, not allowed to do that.
A cold cup of coffee,
in the refrigerator. No, that's not the same. You're asking the non-Jew to cook for you on Shabbos. That's not permissible. Nah, we all know what that means. Make me a cup of coffee means heat up the water and make me a cup of coffee like I would eat on any other day of the week. Yeah.
It seems like there isn't a permissible way of doing the muffins. If you ask the non-Jew to do the muffins, there isn't an option of them doing it in a permissible way of learning.
Right. That's correct. So you're asking, how am I allowed to ask the non-Jew to do the mopping for me if there's no real permissible way to do it? Well, in our homes today, since we really have floors that are made of tiles or made of marble or made of cement, we don't really have a problem doing the mopping at all. The only reason we have an issue is because maybe we're going to do it in a place where we shouldn't do it. Maybe we're going to pour the water on a dirt floor. Now, most of us today really don't have dirt floors at all, so we don't really have to be concerned. So as far as the non-Jew goes, what is he doing wrong? Nothing. The non-Jew is not doing anything. The only reason why a Jew is not allowed to do it is because maybe it will lead us to do something wrong that we are not allowed to do. But the non-Jew doesn't have that prohibition. So we don't have to have that concern, and that's what the Rama writes. We have every right to ask the non-Jew to do it for us. When we talk about the details of the Malacha of Choresh on Shabbos...
What about the mop itself?
Yeah. So again, that's a good question. What about the fact that I'm asking a non-Jew to mop the floor, and he's going to end up squeezing it because that's what happens when you mop, and that would be a prohibition of Shechita. Again, the Achronim write that shouldn't be a problem because I didn't ask him to go and wring out a towel. I didn't ask him to do a malach. I didn't ask him to squeeze. All I asked him to do is to mop the floor. It just so happens to be, along the way, that's what might take place, but that's not an issue at all. That's what the Achronim write, and that's why the Rama says this is permissible. As we mentioned, one of the extensions of the malacha of Choresh is that one has to be careful not to level the ground and not to make a hole in the ground, not to make a furrow in the ground. Those would all be part of the prohibition of Choresh on Shabbos. I think there's something that some might not be aware of, and that is, it doesn't happen so often when you have a normal house in our communities, but let's say you have people who go up to the country And very often you have a door that's broken and doesn't always get fixed. Then you have a garage door or something that drags into the mud every time you open it, right? We've seen such things. So one has to be aware of the fact that when you do that, you might not think about it. There's no grass there, so you say, what do you mean? I'm not ripping anything out of the ground, right? I'm not destroying the ground, but you are. You're moving around the dirt, and you're ripping up part of the dirt, which is the same as leveling the ground or as digging a furrow or making a hole in the ground. That is something, I think, a very practical issue that some people might not think about. Sometimes when you have those doors that are dragging on the ground, you have to think about how to do that in the proper way, or if it's not going to be able to be picked up and moved to the other spot, that might be something one has to think about as well before Shabbos begins. What about, we discussed last night, many women asked, what about baby carriages and what about wheelchairs on Shabbos? What about wheeling those on the dirt floor? Now, that's a very interesting question. It happens to be that some Svarim write that there were small communities and a minority of communities that were careful never to use a stroller on Shabbos. Why? Because they were concerned maybe it's going to make a ditch in the ground, maybe it's going to make lines in the ground, and that would be something one has to be aware of. That would be something someone has to be concerned about. Not only that, one of the Acharonim writes that in his community, he once saw a woman who was pushing a stroller, and the wheel fell off, and she went and she fixed it with her screwdriver and the hammer and the nails on Shabbos, and therefore, he said, no one's ever allowed to use it again. That was a minority opinion. We do not accept that. Why do we not accept that? The Gemara Maseches Becha actually discusses the story of strollers on Shabbos, and the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara tells us a number of tests that using a stroller on Shabbos is not of concern to us. Why not? Says the Gemara, Mipnei Shehi Koveshes, because a stroller does not make a furrow in the ground. A stroller only compresses the ground. So the Gemara's assumption is that the tires of the stroller were so thick, were so wide, that it wasn't going to make a hole in the ground. It was just going to pat down all of the ground that it's riding on, and it would not be creating anything that would be problematic on Shabbos. Now, that might be true when you have a 15 or 20 pound baby that you're wheeling in a stroller. But what if you have the fancy strollers like we have today with the very small wheels, and you have, or if you have an adult who's in a wheelchair and they're very heavy. You have 150, 200 pounds inside of a wheelchair, and now you're going to start wheeling that on the ground. So again, one has to use their common sense to figure out, or maybe try it out before Shabbos. Is this something that would cause a problem, or is it not?
Leveling.
What?
It's still leveling.
So the Gemara assumes that if it's a certain weight, we assume that it's not going to level. We assume it's just going to pat it down. The Gemara says it's just going to compress it. And compressing, the Gemara says, not a problem. The only problem is when you make the holes. So again, you have to know the nature of the wheelchair. You have to know the nature of the ground that you're walking on. Is it soft ground or is it hard ground? Is it something that's problematic or not? I think it's something that you have to think about. Let's say children are allowed to play in a sandbox on Shabbos. How are they allowed to play in a sandbox? Aye, sand is muktza. The Gemara says, Eitzim v'avanim v'yafar. If you have dirt on Shabbos, dirt is muktza. You're not allowed to handle dirt on Shabbos. So how can children play in a sandbox? The answer is, because the sandbox is set aside before Shabbos that it's made for the children to play in. So therefore, the sand would not be muktza on Shabbos. They're allowed to play there. Let's say a child going out to a beach on Shabbos would be a problem because the beach is not set aside for children to play. But when you have a sandbox, which is miyuchad l'kach, which is made for this, that children should play in it, that's not a problem. But what about the fact that they're moving the sand around and now it's choresh? What if I'm playing with my children in the sandbox on Shabbos, which is permissible? How am I allowed to do that? Shouldn't we be concerned that I'm making ditches in the ground, that I'm making holes in it? That's what the nature of playing with sand is, no? What's the answer? It is connected to the ground. Oh, so the answer the Acharonim give is, it's not going to stay that way. The nature of sand is that you make a little tower, it falls down, it comes back. And the sand isn't really going to keep the hole that you made it in. It's not going to keep the lines that you made in it. However, the Acharonim say, if you pour water into the sand, that's a different story. The only time one is allowed to do this is if you have dry sand and you're making holes in the sand or you're moving it around, that's not a problem. But if you have a situation where you're pouring water into it and now it becomes a bigger activity in the sandbox, that would be something you have to be concerned about. Yeah. So that's true. We did say that a davar she'eino mischavin is permissible, but if it's a psik reisha, if it's something that happens every time, you have to be concerned. Sure it is. Why not? Which psik reisha is permissible? Yeah, psik reisha lo nichale we hold is also usher. We don't hold. The Aruch has a very unusual opinion that is not accepted. And unless it's extenuating circumstances where you put 10 other factors together, we usually do not accept the opinion of the Aruch that psik resha lo nichale is mutter. So here, even though I don't want the outcome, but if you know that's certainly going to happen, you're not allowed to do it. Let's say I have my refrigerator light that is on. I really don't care whether the light goes on or not. It doesn't bother me at all. It doesn't make a difference. Why am I not allowed to open the fridge? It's a psik resha lo nichale. I don't care. So, he can't get the shul.
But we do.
Somebody called me up. Somebody called me up that he just took an apartment on the 18th floor in a building in Manhattan. I can't get the shul. Who told you to take that apartment? What do you mean he can't get the shul? It's your problem. What do you want to do? By walking on the grass, they're making a furrow? How are you making a hole? It depends. Like we said, if it happens every time, you have to be concerned. You're not allowed to walk there. But if it's something that is just a davreshen mischav and it happens once in a while, then that's where we say that's permissible. Again, this issue, let's say the guy who just moved to the 18th floor of the building. Rav Moshe says you don't have a right to live there. Now you're going to rely on all the heterim to get yourself out of the building? Who told you to live there? You put yourself in a scenario where you have a problem. Well, you go to the country. It happens to be when it's a rainstorm, you can't walk to shul. Who told you to take a house in the country? It's not God's problem. You decided to go there. You didn't pave the roads properly. You don't have a way to get there. You want to take the shortcut. Okay, you got to think about it before Shabbos. Or wear sneakers where it's not going to cause a problem. If you wear your high heels, that will be a problem. If you wear the sneakers, it's not a problem. Yeah?
Could you just comment one thing? You talk about Dovah Shem's comment. What about the idea that it's a Malach Hashem, which is just a group? You don't want, you're not making the whole plan.
Mm-hmm.
You're not making, a goal is coming because you're walking on it. It's not for the purpose of planting. So is there an issue there, or is there not?
So again, the Achronim do put together, when you have extenuating circumstances, we can put together a bunch of considerations to say why something might be permissible. Let's say they're mopping the floor. That's why they say many different considerations would make it permissible. But under normal circumstances, we would assume that one is not supposed to rely on all these things. One is not supposed to rely on all these heterim. One final issue that we'll discuss before we close for today is the issue of riding a bike on Shabbos. Now, many Achronim discuss in the last 100 years why it is that one is not allowed to ride a bike on Shabbos. So all the Achronim agree that you're not allowed to ride a bike on Shabbos. Everyone agrees to that. The only question is, why? So some Achronim say because it's uvdin d'chol. Now that's the easy answer for anything you don't know the answer to. You can say it's just not Shabbostik. Well, where do we draw the line? Something's not Shabbostik. Let's hear Rav Avadia Yosef has a discussion. Am I allowed to brush my teeth on Shabbos? And he goes through a whole bunch of issues. He says, maybe you're squeezing out the toothbrush, and maybe you're changing the status of the toothpaste to be a different consistency, and all the different issues he discusses. But one thing he says, it's not Shabbostik. Why is it not Shabbostik? What do you mean? What, I have to have a Shabbos toothbrush? And what, I have to have a different cup that I use on Shabbos? It's not Shabbostik to use the mug that I have my coffee in all week? So it's very hard to define what you consider to be Shabbostik and what you don't. So if we're only an issue of uvdin d'chol, I would say it's a hard argument to make, but the Achronim say there are many other issues involved in riding a bike on Shabbos. So some say maybe every so often your bike will break and you're going to come to fix it on Shabbos, and we have to be concerned. The same reason you're not allowed to play instruments on Shabbos, maybe you're going to fix it. So too, you're not allowed to use a bike because maybe you're going to fix it. Some say maybe you're going to ride the bike outside of the tchum. Most people won't walk outside of the Erev or most people won't walk outside of the tchum, but once you're on a bike, it's much easier. You go on a long bike ride, and that's something you have to be concerned about. I do remember when I was in Far Rockaway, there are many people who are not aware of this. There's a major issue in Far Rockaway about whether or not the Atlantic Beach Boardwalk is part of the tchum or not part of the tchum. Let's assume that it is. I don't know if it is or it's not. Let's assume that it is. A lot of people walk over it. I want to be melamed zchus. Assume that it is. What certainly it is not is there is no Erev that goes over that bridge. Everybody knows that? So very often there are people who you see walking who are carrying water bottles or whatever it might be that they need on the other side because they're taking a long walk. There is no Erev over the Atlantic Beach Bridge, and there is no permissibility at all to carry anything over that bridge, because if there's no Erev, you can't carry. So one has to be aware of that, one has to think about it. Certainly when you're bike riding, it's much easier to go outside of the Tchum or to go outside of the Erev because you go to much farther distances than you would if you were walking. And these are all considerations that have to be thought about. Bike riding is something we try not to do, and you have to be very careful about that on Shabbos. But one of the Achronim argues that the reason bike riding is not permissible is because every time you ride the bike in the dirt, you're going to end up making some sort of furrow in the ground, you're going to end up making an imprint from whatever it is that is on the tire. And therefore, the Achronim say, given all of these factors, one has to be very concerned about bike riding on Shabbos. What about for our children? So the Achronim say, if you have young children who want to use a tricycle on Shabbos, that is not the same as using a bicycle on Shabbos. Number one, children are not going to go outside of the tchum on Shabbos, right? They're not; it's just not a consideration. Number two, you know, those things don't really break so often, and you're not going to go and fix it on Shabbos. You need, you know, a real store to fix such a thing. It's not like you pump it up with air. A tricycle, generally, we assume is not a problem. What I think is, I once asked Rav Asher Weiss, where do we draw the line? I asked him about using a scooter on Shabbos. I was just in Los Angeles for Shabbos this past week. I was amazed and ashamed, I can say, that I went to one of the shuls and they had hundreds of scooters outside of shul on Shabbos. And I was ashamed. How can we have this on Shabbos? If you would say that riding a bike is uvdin lechol, kids riding around on scooters on Shabbos, I don't know. I think it's a very hard line to draw. Where do we draw the line of what might be considered outside of the spirit of Shabbos and what might be within is very hard to say. And what is considered permissible on Shabbos and what is not. The Hagdara Rav Asher Weiss told me once is, when you have something which is a mode of transportation, that is something we should not allow our children to do on Shabbos. So therefore, he says, a bike very often, businessmen in Manhattan are using bikes to get from one building to another. That's a mode of transportation. And therefore, that is something that is uvdin lechol. We shouldn't do that on Shabbos. When you have a tricycle, he said, that's not a mode of transportation. That's a child playing with a toy. And therefore, that would be permissible. How would you put a scooter? I don't know. I asked him about a scooter. So in many ways, I would say a scooter might be a mode of transportation. I don't know exactly how you categorize that. But I think it is something to be thoughtful, to be mindful of, when we talk about all of these issues that apply not only to Choresh on Shabbos, about the fact that when you ride the scooter, you ride the bicycle, it's going to cause something to the dirt that you're riding over, but also you have to be concerned about the fact, what is it doing to our ambiance, to our experience of Shabbos, and are we losing the flavor of what Shabbos was supposed to be now that we have our children riding around on scooters and bicycles on Shabbos? Is that something we have to be a little bit more concerned about? Questions? Yeah.